a few years back, I made a very conscious effort. One of my mantras is focus on what matters and forget the rest. Working moms in general, you know, TV aside, again, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of balls in the air at all times. You are juggling. And I think that no matter what, and no matter what the partnership looks like at home, moms will always have a special role.
Welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. This is your host, Blessing Adesio, founder and CEO of Mother Honestly. On this show, we interview ambitious women that are thriving in and beyond motherhood. Expect honest and real conversations that will encourage and inspire you to take actions on your dreams.
Welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. I am your podcast manager, Kristen Baffo, and with us today is founder and CEO of Mother Honestly, Blessing Adesian, and our special guest today is local Channel 4 anchor and reporter Sandra Ali. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Sandra.
Hello. It's so good to see you again, Blessing.
Hey, nice to have you in the
Thank
studio.
Thank you. This is so fun. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, every time we get a new guest, we're always like excited because it's a different story. It's a different perspective. So glad to have you here with us.
Thank you. So fun.
Absolutely. So Sandra, why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about yourself. I know you have a very unique background, and I'm dying for all of our listeners to hear that.
Yeah, so I was born in New York City.
Okay.
It's where I'm from, so I'm a native New Yorker. But my parents are actually Egyptian immigrants, and we ended up going back to Egypt, and I lived in Egypt, in Cairo, for 5 years.
No kidding.
Yes.
And Cairo is a big city, isn't it?
It's huge. It's a very big city.
Because I grew up in Lagos, Nigeria, which is about 16 million
right.
people, and I think Cairo is like somewhere in the... Somewhere 10 million or 13 mm-hmm. even.
It's a very, very big city, and it's very spread out. And and so that was from birth, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was, technically I was born in Queens, and then a couple months old, I moved back to Egypt. I lived there until I was almost 5 years old, and then moved back to New York City with my parents.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful background and story there. I can't even imagine dragging my kids to Nigeria right now and be like, okay, we're leaving here for 5 years.
I couldn't imagine it now either. Looking back, it was, that's hard because it's a hard transition back.
Correct.
Right. Coming back to the United States.
Right, yeah. Right. And not knowing the language and learning how to speak English.
Because you were there until you were 5 years old.
Right.
So do you speak other languages then?
I speak Arabic.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is something that we are trying with our kids, is making sure that they speak our language. So my son is one, and we just did his 1 year checkup, and the doctor was like, well, okay, so what are the words that you say? And I was like, rara, dide, and they were like, what is that?
Yeah, and people always ask me in the Arabic community, please tell me that you're teaching your kids, Arabic. And I'm like, ugh.
They don't.
My daughter, my 6-year-old and my 9-year-old know a few words here and there just to kind of get by.
Yeah.
And they'll ask me. They'll ask me, well, how do I say this in Arabic?
Yeah.
Or how do I say this in Arabic? And I'll tell them, I'm like, you guys are half Egyptian. They're like, what?
What does that mean?
And so the twins are too young yet, but they probably could pick up.
I think they will pick up.
They could pick up a word or two.
Arabic is actually being taught in the United States.
Right.
In some high schools and middle schools. So, mm-hmm.
Well, we have such a huge Arabic community here in Detroit, too.
Exactly. Correct? So I hope that they can absorb some of that.
So how has it been? So what is that story from New York? How did you land in Detroit?
So, oh my goodness. there were many, many stops along the way.
Okay.
And so, like I said, native New Yorker, born and raised. And then I went away to college. And I went to Syracuse undergrad and then Northwestern for my master's. So I lived in upstate New York. Then I lived in Chicago. Then I lived in D.C. I'm kind of a nomad of sorts. I've lived in so many places.
So you and I are so similar in terms of, I have lived just about almost every state in this country, and it's and people are like, how do you do it? I'm like, you guys don't understand. I am not from America.
Right.
I don't care where I land.
Right.
I'm just, I just go wherever the money is.
Right.
You don't
there you go.
Home
follow
state.
The money. Yeah. You know, and in my case, it was, you know, following the jobs at
That's
some
true.
Point. You
Correct.
Know, and I was never, you know, even though I'm from New York, I was never really, and that's my home base.
Perfect.
I was never really tied down. It was like, oh, I have an adventurous spirit.
Exactly.
And I was like, okay, where's the best journalism school? And sign me up. Let me apply and let me go. And that's what I did. And then it was like, okay, maybe I'll go get my master's and I'll go to Chicago and
do
I
something
was,
different.
And I was on to another adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was great because I think it molds you and
Correct.
You know, you leave the nest and that's how you grow.
And you just become more adaptable and flexible. And I think that that's something that, especially for young girls, I always tell parents that, you know, you just need to show your kids the world. I mean, it doesn't have to be that you're traveling out of a country. It's, you know, giving them that option to be able to venture outside of their comfort zone and take risk. And,
I agree.
You know, and search for, you know, the what's different perspective. And maybe that's how I've
No,
always
I
been.
Agree.
I
completely.
Literally jumped on the plane for yeah. the first time in my life
well,
when
good.
I was 17. From, you know, Nigeria to come to the U.S. And I remember people were asking my dad, are you crazy? And my dad is like, I don't know. But, you know, I have this crazy daughter
right.
that wants to.
She wants to see the world.
She wants to see the world. And I literally, like, I found myself in Amsterdam airport. I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know what's happening. And from there, I'm in Miami and I'm just like all over the place. But here I am today, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's important that our children today immerse themselves in different cultures.
Absolutely.
I think it's just, it's so important because, you know, with everybody's from a different background today, you know, and so it's nice to just have kind of an understanding of where everybody comes from.
And and there's a whole world out there.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, there are so many cultures, so many people, there's so much to see. And I think my parents also instilled that love of travel and that, you know, I think back even to New York and my upbringing, those early years. I told my kids this the other day. I said, my best friend in, you know, in first grade, she was from China and
yeah.
her grandfather would pick us up from school because my parents worked late and he would make us real fried rice.
Oh, man.
You know,
those are the
best. Yes.
When
and
I went to China
yeah.
4 years ago and since then, I never go to Chinese restaurants again. I'm like, oh, we've been fed the wrong information.
Right.
Well, that's like my husband always has, you know, people from China that come in and he's got to entertain them. And they
yeah,
always want to go.
Serve them Chinese
No, they
fries.
Always
right,
want Chinese
don't.
Food
yes,
from here because it's
isn't
so
that funny?
Different. And he's always like, they always want to go to Chinese. He's like, you'd no. think they'd want to do something
Try
else.
Something
like,
new.
Get pizza
yeah.
or something.
Yeah. Yeah, give them steak. So Sandra, it sounds like, you know, you obviously very ambitious in terms of seeking new opportunities and seeking new landscape, new perspective. How, you know, how did you land in Local 4 in NBC?
So I started off after grad school. I got my first job in television, which was in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Really tiny, small town. Went there for 2 years. And then I actually got a call from a news director at Fox 2 here
oh, wow.
in Detroit. And I was I was young and I had never heard. I didn't know anything about Detroit. I didn't know anything about Michigan. And I flew out, got the job, and
wow.
ended up, you know, working there for 4 years. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And then I eventually got hired by a station in Cincinnati. So I lived there for a few years and then I got hired back by Channel 4.
Wow. And then you met your husband. And your husband also is in the industry.
So my husband's in the industry. You know, my husband always says that I tell the long version of our story.
Yeah.
But the condensed version is we met at a murder. We were both covering a murder. I know, how romantic,
wow, right?
Right?
Very romantic.
Covering a murder. We met very briefly. We were competitors, you know, because we worked for two different stations.
Ooh.
But I thought he was super cute. I was like, who is that? He's super cute. And then I ended up moving to Cincinnati. I took the job just a couple weeks later. And my husband's from Dayton, Ohio.
Okay, so he knows a lot about
so
that.
So he knows, yeah. So, yeah.
You're like, hey, in the blink of an eye,
we were married, and that's the end of the story.
And you have four kids.
Four children.
So tell us about them.
So they range in age. My oldest is 9, and he's in fourth grade. I have a 6-year-old girl who is a first grader, then twin toddlers who just turned 2.
Oh my goodness. They're boys. So tall.
2 and they're terrible.
Yeah. I wish I could say they take after me, but they don't in the height department. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I saw them in your stories, and I'm like, oh my God, they are so tall. I actually thought you were going to say 3 years old.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. They're 2. They just turned 2.
Yeah. I have twin brothers, and so every time I see twins, I'm like, give me that.
And we've chatted about that.
Yeah, my brothers were mischievous, though. We couldn't tell them apart because they were identical, and so they would trick the teachers. So literally, we have to put signs on their head when
they're
going
heard
to school,
about that.
Plus and minus, so they know who is who.
Oh, that's
but they will
so
take
funny.
It like they will erase the signs, and the teacher starts going crazy. And even when they're home, you know, they trick us because
sure.
you call them and be like, Taya, where are you? And he's going to be like, me. You know, the same person answers for both people. And I'm like,
hilarious.
This is ridiculous, guys.
Hilarious.
Yeah, till today, they still, I don't know their voice. When they call me from Nigeria, I'm like, who is talking?
Oh, that's so
I don't know who is talking 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very exciting.
It is so exciting. It's so fun. And it is, they keep you on your toes. I thought, you know, when I had my son and my daughter, oh my gosh, this is so much work. And it is.
Yeah.
But now, looking back, I'm like, how did I? That was a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Like, how did I ever think that was hard?
I think your world just expands. More kids, everything just kind of expands.
And, you know, and someone once told me before, you know, having our daughter, you'll see your heart will just grow. And I thought, how could my heart possibly grow even bigger than the love I have for my, you know, our son? And they said, oh, you'll see. It will just expand and expand and expand. And that's how I feel.
Yeah. I'm in that stage of life right now. Like, I just had my first daughter just turned 1 year old.
Uh-huh.
And I'm due in May with my second. And
how
I'm just
exciting.
Like, I'm like, how can I just like, I'm always worried. I'm always talking to my family. I'm like, you know, you all have to treat Stella just as good as you treat Penelope.
Right. Yeah.
She'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She'll be all right.
But I have this like, how does my heart get any bigger with love
it
than
will.
I already have?
It will.
It
try,
will.
Try being an only child. Kimmy was an only child for 9 years. And I was like, oh, there is just no way we're going to have another kid. And here we are. We had another one, and I'm like, "Oh, how is it possible?"
And I think about, and I'm sure you can relate to this. Like, you think back and go, "What was life like before?"
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
you can't.
Absolutely.
I can't remember it.
No, you can. So it looks like you have your hands full.
With
you know, 4 kids and a husband and a career, and you have a dual career. So how have you been able to align, you know, everything in a way that leaves you healthy and fulfilled? I know you have a lot of other things that you're doing outside of work. How have you been able to manage everything?
You know, it's not easy. And I feel like I always have to tell people, not correct women, but I always feel like it's my place to say, you know what, if it looks easy, it looks that way. And it's not. I told a story a few weeks ago at a gala that I emceed for a charity. Children's charity. And I said, you know, a lot of times you see women on the surface and it's kind of like the duck on the water, and they're just kind of, they look like they're gliding and everything's smooth sailing.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath, you know, women are, you're paddling.
Absolutely.
And you're paddling as fast as you can to stay afloat. And I think oftentimes it's just keeping things afloat. And
what a great analogy.
Yeah. Keeping things afloat.
And so how have you, I mean, I know that that's, you know, what are the details there? How are you like getting by with getting 4 kids out of the door to school and the pickups and the drop offs and having to be at work at a certain time, and your husband also having a very demanding schedule?
Sure.
What are the day to day challenges, and how are you managing those?
So I think a few years back, I made a very conscious effort. One of my mantras is focus on what matters and forget the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a born perfectionist, and I'll be the first to say, you know, OCD, I should have it on a, you know, wear it on my tank top because I like things a certain way. And I like things to be orderly and organized and dare I say perfect. But I've had to let go of that perfection as much as possible because balance and perfection, it's an unreal expectation. I think we are so hard on ourselves, and I think that there are certain expectations we have to let go of, and there are a lot of unrealistic expectations. So I've had to let a lot of stuff go. You know, with my son, I was always volunteering. Oh, I volunteered.
God. We just talked about volunteering before you came in.
Goodness. Yes. And I was always the mom who it was 2 a.m. and I was going to bake the gluten-free perfect cupcakes.
It has never happened to me.
See? And you know what? Guess what? It doesn't happen anymore here either.
I mean,
it's not happening.
It's a lot of expectations that we're putting on ourselves. And the kids, honestly, they don't care.
They don't care.
Like, my daughter is like, Mom, why didn't you just stop at Walmart?
Exactly.
Grab a cookie. You don't need to, break your back. You just got home. Spend that time with me instead.
And she's exactly right. It's like from the mouths of babes, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing. I got to a point a few years back where I was finding that my quest for this perfection and looking like, oh, I'm going to be the perfect mom and I'm going to wheel in all these perfect cakes and cupcakes and goodie bags and I'm going to throw the best party ever.
My kids are going to look perfect.
And oh, right. And then I was like, you know what? What was happening is then I was snapping at my kids and I was grouchy because I was tired all the time, tired from I'm working, managing a household, doing all of this. And then it's like, well, what's the point if then my child asks me a question and I snap at them? What's the point of those cupcakes? What's the point of all those goodie bags? They're not going to remember that. And so I made
it. Remember the cute cupcakes and how pretty it was.
No.
How the icing did not fall off the, like,
or all the details of their very first birthday party.
Exactly. So you know what? I've set aside that goal of perfection, and I just made a conscious effort to be present and say, okay, you know what? Things don't have to be perfect.
And I love that.
Yeah. And I focus solely on what matters, and everything else, I just kind of, I have to push aside.
So that comes back to some of the things that I always say, you know, at Mother Honestly, which is you need to ruthlessly cut out the unimportant stuff.
Yes.
Like that stuff that really doesn't matter. It's not your cup of tea to be a baker. It's not your cup of tea to be the volunteer queen at the preschool or the kindergarten or, you know, the chaperone all the time.
Yes.
No, it's not your cup of tea. That work can be evenly distributed among all the men and women that are parents at your child's school. You shouldn't be the only one wearing that hat.
Exactly.
So really, really appreciate your honesty there. Let's talk about how you split work responsibilities, because this is something I just posted today on our Instagram page, is, you know, just the idea of having dual career couples and the way we negotiate that work and that responsibility really affects not just our work,
but our relationships.
Family, but it affects how we treat each other.
Absolutely.
Right? And for me, you know, I'm always the first one to say that, hey, because I think a lot of women don't talk about it often, that they have help. I say it because I want other people to get help if they can do it. Or if they can try to at least, you know, outsource a little pieces of the responsibility.
Oh, absolutely.
So just let's talk about how do you guys split work responsibilities?
Work responsibilities around the house?
Around the house, around, you know, parenting, around the kids.
Sure.
How do you do that?
You know what? So part of it is inevitable for us based on our schedules. You know, TV schedules are so wacky. My husband goes into work sometimes in the middle of the night.
Oh,
to be on the air early in the morning. So,
kidding.
Oh, yeah. And I work a lot of late nights. So it just kind of, by virtue, it's, we change shifts. So it's kind of like bit of a revolving door. So I'll have, exactly. So I'll have the morning shift and whatever duties fall in that morning shift. And then when it's time to pass the baton, when I'm leaving for work at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's like, here you go. You know, I pass the baton. But I think based on our talents, there are certain things that my husband is just not good at.
That's true.
And you know, and it may be in some households, you know, it depends on which partner can do things better. My husband's great at making breakfast. I am not a morning person. You will not see me standing at the stove making eggs at 7 in the morning.
No.
It's not happening.
That's why you're the evening anchor.
Right. It is not happening. And don't talk to me before I've had my coffee. And no, I will not scramble you any eggs. I love you, but I can't do
scramble
it.
Scramble your own eggs.
Exactly. So, you know, and so there are certain things. Now, does my husband know the calendar of events and like who's going where? I mean, we often joke that we need like flow charts because our kids are
busy.
Everyone's busy, you know, everyone's busy and our household is busy. And so does my husband, my husband in that regard is on a very much need to know basis because that's what works for us. So it's like, okay, Saturday, here's who has a basketball game. Here's the location. This is the time. Bag is packed. It's by the door. That's it. I know, okay, my kids have a swim meet on this day. So I know what I need to do to get them ready for that. Does that all make
sense? It all makes sense. It sounds to me like you've both committed to a vision of, you know, if you're around and it needs to be done, you're doing it.
Exactly.
And that's how it works in my house, too, is we've committed to this is a partnership, and it doesn't matter who messed something up.
Absolutely.
You can clean it up. And it doesn't matter if, you know, as long as you are available, you get to pick up that slack. You get to be the one to do drop-offs. So we don't have a particular person that does drop-off.
Exactly.
I love doing drop-offs because it's on my way to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my husband goes the other direction. So by virtue of convenience, I do drop-offs.
Mm-hmm.
By virtue of convenience, he does the grocery pickups, you know, because
exactly.
He's coming from the highway and he takes mm-hmm. that exit and he hits Kroger or he hits Whole Foods and he grabs everything to go. So again, it's all about, like you said, more
it's a partnership.
Partnership. So really, really appreciate you saying that. I think lastly is, what are the challenges that you faced as a career woman in the workplace?
Oh, my goodness. How much time do you have?
I have lots of time for this one.
Oh, goodness. You know, you mean as a working mom?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are so many challenges. I think working moms in general, you know, TV aside, again, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of balls in the air at all times. You are juggling. And I think that no matter what, and no matter what the partnership looks like at home, moms will always have a special role. We're always the caretaker. When there are skin knees or, you know, or the school calls me first.
Absolutely.
Right? And so
I am like, please don't call my husband.
Right.
Because you can't count on that man to pick up his phone.
Exactly. See? Right. And again, it's that honesty.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when it's 2 o'clock and I'm in the studio and I'm going to be on the air at 5 and I'm doing 800 million things like trying to put some lashes on my eye and call about a story. And then I get a call that my 6-year-old's barfing, you know, in the sick lounge. I'm the one that's going to leave the studio and go pick her up, right? So, I mean, it's a balance and it's a constant search for that balance where you want to, again, you want to focus on your career as much as possible. But I think that at any given time, depending on the season of life you're in, certain things get your focus.
Absolutely.
And it's what needs your focus at that given time. So there may be a stretch where I'm like, okay, 2019, this is what the winter is going to look like for me at work. And so right now, this is what I need to focus on. So that kind of climbs a little bit higher on the priority list. And it's the same thing at home. It can be, okay, well, right now, my 9-year-old needs some extra attention because of something going on. So he kind of, you know, floats to the top. So it's based on your needs.
Absolutely.
At that given time.
And I appreciate you saying, you know, you have to leave. I mean, I can either come back to this. And that was something that we talked about this week is, you know, what gets dropped? Is it the work ball or the mom ball? And for me personally, And this is speaking of somebody that has literally sprinted through the corporate ladder in the last 10 years. The mom ball never gets dropped.
I'm with you 100%.
I do not care how much is on the line.
Absolutely.
If I have to leave, I have to leave.
Absolutely.
And I have been very vocal about that at work is, you know, I appreciate this work. I appreciate this opportunity. But if I have to go pick up my daughter because she's, you know, bathing in the sick lounge, or if we need to go get, you know, I think we had there was a year that we were literally in every doctor's, office for, you know, EEG scans and X, Y, and Z, and she's not growing, and she's, I'm like, that's my priority.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I'm sorry. I will get work done. I'll take my laptop with me.
Absolutely.
Take my work phone. But the mom ball is never going to get dropped.
Right. And I will tell you, you know, I've had situations where I've said to my bosses, hey, I've got a sick child. Guess what? I'll be back in 2 hours. I'm going to take her, pick her up, and get her where she needs to go. But I'll be back to anchor the newscast, and I'll see you in a few hours.
Well, I think at the end of the day, especially for moms, it's always family first.
Absolutely.
It is.
Mm-hmm. My son, I remember last year at one point said, when he was in the third grade, he said, it was a pretty sharp observation. He said, I've noticed you haven't been at my school much. You used to always be here and volunteer, and you're never here anymore. And I went, so, you know, that night I pulled up the calendar for the rest of the year, and I pulled up, they had a couple of special lunches, a couple of parties, and I took vacation days on those days. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the room mom and said, okay, March so-and-so, this date,
I'll do it,
sign me up. And what I did was I took vacation days. And people at work said, you're taking
for
a vacation
that?
Day on a Thursday? And I go, yeah, I'm reading to my son's class. And they're like, you took a vacation day to do it? And I said, I needed to show up.
Well, and if he's bringing it up, it's obviously important to him that he noticed, well, my mom's not here.
Exactly.
You know? So
I think at the end of the day, it's like you said, it's about balance. It's what is the priority. And if for my daughter, you know, there were a couple of times where it was important for me to be there. You know, she's like, I'm doing Battle of the Books and I am the leading person, or I'm doing, you know, math quest and I, you know, I am the math guru in my class. I would love for you to see me.
Sure.
And so it's, you know, what is important at that time? And for me, it's, again, shifting everything around.
Exactly.
If you have to shift meetings, if you have to shift vacation, if you have to give your boss a, you know, quick heads up days or weeks before and saying, hey, you know, I've blocked out this time for X, Y, and Z. And I tell people, you don't need to even tell your coworker or your bosses that you're where you're going or what you're doing.
Sure.
It's I'm taking vacation and that's
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know, because I think what happens for the most part for women is, you know, it almost seems like every time our bosses hear from us, it's about my kid this, my kid that, and my kid this. And so it's very hard sometimes for our bosses to take us seriously. My husband doesn't go to his boss and be like, oh, you know what? I wouldn't be here because of my kid tomorrow. My husband is like, I wouldn't be here.
Period.
He's out.
You don't need to give an explanation.
You know, it's my vacation.
Exactly. And you know what? No matter where you are in the corporate ladder or wherever you're working, whatever you're doing, I think women as a whole, for some strange reason, we've been trained to think that everything will fall apart without us.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't.
No.
It goes on.
The world keeps standing.
Exactly. It keeps going.
The world keeps standing. So, Sandra, where can our listeners find you?
So I am on Local 4 News most nights. So you can. So if you watch the news, usually you can check us out between 4, 5, 6, and 11 in the evening. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I tune into as much as I can of you guys and Karen Drew and... I'm just
you guys have been a great partner for us.
We
yes.
have a great group of people.
Absolutely.
A great group of people.
Absolutely. A lot of amazing people in the local 4 News here in Detroit.
A lot of fun going on in that studio.
Yeah. And a lot of good work, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So thank you so much, Sandra, for coming.
Thank you for having
me. Say hello to the twins for
me. Of course.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Wonderful time. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Mother Honestly podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode, we urge that you go on and rate, review, and subscribe to the Mother Honestly podcast.
Also follow us on Instagram.
Yes. And if you would like to be a guest on our podcast, you can reach out to me, the podcast manager, Kristen Baffo, at kristen@motherhonestly.com.
I'm so excited we have our own email. It makes us feel legit. Well, see you guys when you rate, review, and subscribe to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.